We talked last week about Elijah, and I told you how much I loved Elijah. Well, we're going to finish this up today. But everything about Elijah thrills me, even the times when he was a little bit afraid and he tucked his tail between his legs and he ran. Yeah, even that. And why? He was human. Was he trusting in God about everything he had up to that point? Listen, he has been taken care of. He faced all these people. Nothing in the world was happening to him that was bad. But he knew this person that I mentioned last week that was Ahab's wife named Jezebel. There has, I always thought if it was a female dog out here that you ought to name that dog Jezebel because it's so wicked. You know, Jezebel just has that ring to it. Over a period of time, career in law enforcement, you do a lot of different things, and you go out and you do a sting and one thing and another. And one of the things was that you worked was prostitution. You said, what, prostitution in this area? In these towns? Oh, that's what you have in New York, California, and these things. No, you've got it everywhere. Well, that was a lot of people that I knew, and a lot of them, we nicknamed them Jezebel because prostitution and wickedness was what they were involved in. And by the way, not that the guys are any better, okay? But Jezebel had a bad ring to it. Let's recap just a little bit. We said that Elijah was a Tishbite, and a Tishbite is a stranger or a sojourner, somebody that nobody really knows who they are, just shows up. But see, isn't God like that? He just shows up. He don't have to make an announcement. He doesn't have to have the pomp. Doesn't have to do that. He just comes in and does what he needs to do. He anoints his people the same way. Ahab, the king, Ahab was a wicked person. Ahab was the most wicked king they had had to that point. His dad had been the most wicked king. So that recap, what we've done right here. Let's say this. The time that Elijah spent talking to these people, I'm sure that 850 people there thought, he's one man, he has no ability, he's going to do what? He's going to make fun of these people? Yes, he will. So, if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, 1 Kings chapter 18, let's go back there. Now, we've seen that something has happened. The bullock or the bulls, they have cut these up. Elijah said, pick the one you want. He let him have it. You cut this one up. Don't you put any fire on it. You're going to pray to your gods. Baal is a collection of gods. Now, I'm going to give you a little something that maybe you haven't thought of in the past. But I took some classes on this, and I did a lot of study on deviant behaviors, the occult, and what gods are out here in this world. And it was very interesting. I'm going to give you an example here. We know who God is. We know God's in charge, okay? We got that settled. So we have God here. But now for the rest of the world, there's something provided out here by Satan. And I know that if we have God here and we have another circle on this side right here, people are going to say, there are many gods, there are many demons and so forth, but let me tell you where they all originate. It's all one person. It's all Satan. Now, some of these that lead you astray and different titles, Satan always has something extra out here that will entice different people. Remember, everybody's different. So he'll entice you. It might be some of the Caribbean and Western African religions. Could be hoodoo. voodoo. It could be Palamambe. It could be Santeria. It could be any collection of these things. All of these have a different name. But the origin and the purpose for them are all one. It's all Satan. He'll put a different name on something, and he'll present it to you and you and you and you and you. And you'll say, gosh, that's different. There's nothing new given under heaven. Scripture. The Bible is still what it's always been. But Satan will invent new inventions. Baal was just that. All kinds of gods. So let's look and see what it did. Okay. Verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them and dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now let me tell you what they did when they leaped upon this altar. Have you ever seen or gone by a dance hall and so forth and you looked in there and saw what was going on? Now, I'm not a dancer. Pretty obvious, I'm not a dancer. I wouldn't have some of this weight if I was a dancer. But anyway, you go, if you went by some of those places, you looked in, you saw some of the gyrations and things that were going on in there, you'd say, gosh, those people need to be wormed. Why would you act like that, those gyrations? Crazy stuff. All right, right here, back as far as Elijah's term, he goes and he watches this, and it's recorded right here. He saw all these people when they were calling on Baal. Oh, answer us, Baal. Hear our cry. So they jump up on there, they're doing the twist, the watusi, and anything else, the jerk probably. Anyway, they're not getting any response. Looks like business is picking up, doesn't it? I'm not getting any response, so here's what I'm going to do. See if this makes any sense. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I know a little bit about this here. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or perhaps, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. Now listen, how many people, when you're compassed by 850 of these people, and then you've got some Israelites over there too that's watching this, and you've got the king and his wife that's watching this, and here's this guy over here going, you people are crazy. That's probably what you're thinking about me. But this is how he did it. He made fun of them. The Bible says he mocked them. What do you think he said? Now, this is the gospel according to Jack right here, but I'm paraphrasing some of this. You people are nuts. You're shouting out here and you're trying to call on who? Do you really think he's going to show up here? So those people jump up there and they start stomping the place, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But they start stomping the place. They get on top of it. They must be trying to wake him up. But they said, look here, either he is talking. Maybe he's on the cell phone. Now you're going to say, boy, you're down on cell phones. No, well, let me say this about cell phones. I refuse to let a little rectangular box rule my life. And if you'll check your, if you think I'm kidding, you check your computer and find out how many times a day the average person looks at that phone. How about 300 times a day? What else could I be doing during that time? Can I see you, see what you're doing? If I'm a police officer or I'm working in a plant, do I not need to see what else is going on? I think maybe Baal was on a journey. One of those gods was on a journey, or maybe they were talking to somebody. So he was on the cell phone there, so they couldn't reach him. But here he comes again. He's pursuing. Maybe he's on a hunting trip. Elijah's getting under these people's skin quickly. Or maybe he's on a journey. He's on a trip. His phone won't reach the tower. Or maybe he sleepeth. My God is omnipresent. These people can't say that. My God knows what's going on all the time. He sees all the time and he's everywhere. Now, I'm going to say something to you right now that may ruffle some feathers. We probably won't even hear. But it would ruffle some feathers if I said this. And I look at the age group here, too, so I think I'll be safe in saying this. All of my life, well, as a child, but even I've heard this, there's a person in the wintertime that's supposed to be coming and bringing toys to people. A quite overweight person, brightly dressed, but here's what they say. He's watching you. He knows if you've been good or bad. He's watching you. Now, we all know in here about what the meaning of Christmas really is, and we need to promote that in the biggest extent. I know that, but let me ask you a question. If we have promoted that and we said, you better be good, Santa's watching you, fast forward in your life and in my life, what do you think when you get up and you say, you know, Santa really doesn't exist? It's just a fictional thing. Now, there was a St. Nicholas, and we know all about that, and he gave gifts. Now, that has nothing to do with this. But he's watching you. You better be good. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. One of the songs, he's everywhere. It's a lie. But as a child, when they hear that, what do you think Satan says to them? Boy, if that's a lie and he can't be everywhere, do you really think God can be everywhere? And I know what you're thinking. You know Satan wouldn't say that to people, young people or adults. Yes, he would, and worse. So, you say, are you down on Santa? Please don't stone me when we get finished here today. Christmas is over with you. We'll approach that another time. I know that my God is everywhere, but Satan will slide something in on a young mind and say, he don't know everything. Santa wasn't everywhere. Do you think God can be everywhere? The Bible says, I can't please him without faith. I've got faith that my God is everywhere and that my God will take care of everything. Can I believe that in my mind? Yes, I can. Can I say in my mind, all I believe everything and I don't have any doubts about anything? I can't because I'm human. Let me tell you why. For those of you who have been to a race, and we used to have to go to those races, and it wasn't a choice, it was your obligation. You went to the races for other purposes. But it starts with lap one. It ends in lap 500. There's always a start to everything. There's always an end to it. If it were not faith, could I believe this? There's a time when I wasn't, but there'll never be a time when I'm not. My God has provided heaven, and it's going on. It will never end. I am human. Can I fathom that, really, in my mind? Can I really say I have a handle on that? No, but by faith, I can. You got a guy here that had that faith, and he says, I know my God will sustain me. All right, look at verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out of them. Remember me telling you about how mental these people are? Need to see a psychiatrist? Do you know what lancets are? It's either a spear or a javelin. A spear has more so than an arrow, but it has a wider blade on it, a wider piece of metal on it that will penetrate and will kill. They were cutting themselves with them, but you have the javelins. Javelins have a sharp point on them. They were gouging one another and gouging themselves with that, trying to get a false god to hear them. You're really serious about this thing, aren't you? You've really got to get some traction from a false god. God help you. But they cut themselves. They beat on everything until the blood gushed out. Now, I don't know about you. I'm kind of a self-preservationist. There's a lot of people who don't like me, but I like me pretty good. And I'm not going to cut myself. I'm not going to bump my head on something just to make somebody else happy. This is not happening. By the way, just so we'll stay in the realm of Scripture, this body is the temple. Is it not? This body is the temple. My Lord lives in this body of me. He's in my heart. So why would I want to hurt my body? All right. Now, listen, let me say this to you also. I try to refrain from reading much, but this is so good. The Scripture is so rich here, and it's so exciting when I read it. I told you last week, or asked you, about sports and so forth, and so I told you about boxing and so forth. You like that? Yeah, it's barbaric. Yeah. If people get hurt, yeah. But, you know, it's so much fun when somebody punches somebody, and you're in that ring. That's what you paid this money for. And it's kind of exciting. So I'm sure that you got a guy here, one of God's men, that's saying, this is pretty entertaining. I didn't have to pay to be here. This is pretty entertaining. You people are nuts. And I'm watching it. So he mocked him. So I want to read it to you. And it came to pass, and when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Baal did not show up. Baal did not respond to anything. But listen, midday, this happened early of a morning. But it said they went ahead and they proceeded to do this until the evening sacrifice. All right, I'm going to tell you, that evening sacrifice was called, it was the ninth hour. See, in biblical terms and so forth, things were done in watches. So this would have been about 3 p.m. So there's plenty of daylight left. God had this thing orchestrated, and he showed this. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired, see, I told you they got up on that thing and they beat and stomped and tore it up, the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, or Israel, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now, the 12 tribes. We know about the 12 tribes as we've studied that in prior books of the Old Testament. But let me tell you something about 12, what this 12 says here. It means rulership. Rulership. Who is the ruler that we serve? God Almighty. 12 was a significant number. And see, we have to look back and study these things as far as numbers. And if you've never studied the Bible with numbers and so forth, it's an exciting thing to do, and it's extremely informative. You find out a lot about the Bible. But the 12 meaning rulership. God had this thing planned out long before all these people showed up here on Mount Carmel, that rulership would be exalted. Rulership would be understood by all the people who were there. And the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Now, and on the wood. Now, there's a word in here in verse 33. On the burnt. This is faith. This is what's going to happen. And he's already talking about it. Elijah has already made it known to these people. Burnt. It's going to happen. He has the faith of that. But he's telling them this. So that's that right there. There's no fire yet. But let me go, and rather than read it to you, let me tell you what the rest of this comes to. 4 barrels of water. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I do know this. And all of you have had a fire. You've been around a fire. You've had a campfire. You've had a bonfire or something somewhere or another. Or maybe even a fire in a house. But are you aware that water doesn't burn? Surprise me. Water doesn't burn. I've used water to put out many flames. Growing up on a farm, we had to have brush fires and so forth, the things that we had trimmed, things we had done. And of course, this, I don't know if this will, I don't know if this will apply to you all or not, but anybody know what Johnson grass is? Whew. Man, my daddy had me cutting Johnson grass and burning Johnson grass all my life. Listen, that stuff was, it had to be of Satan. There ain't nobody else that would have anything to do with it. And that stuff came up as a result of Adam and Eve. I know it did. And it was a plague on Jack's, it nearly warped my personality having to do all that. But anyway, I burned that stuff. That stuff would spread. You can't pull it. You can't turn the hogs loose on and get rid of it. I'd have to put out all those flames before I would go in when the sun was going down, before I'd go in the house. So I know that water won't burn. But do you think that all these people, these, I'm going to call them Israelis, do you think that all those people saw this? Do you think that they thought that he was nuts? Do you think that 850 people of Baal thought he was nuts? I bet you they did. He said, we'll fill these things three times. Now, I see. My multiplication is right. Three fours are 12, so that's 12 barrels of water. But said, even fill the trench. Now I'm going to show you something else. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, after 3 o'clock, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, I'm going to give you 63 words right here. I'm going to give you 63 words where a man of God called out to a living God, a God of the universe that made this universe, and said, need help here, Lord. Let's begin to read this. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. How could he pray such a prayer? There's a person who I've heard of many, many times, and he is now deceased. It was always positive thinking. Now, I do like positive thinking. I don't like negativism. I'll get this in a minute. I don't like all of that. As a matter of fact, if that's what people are doing, I try to find me another way. There's some other place I need to be. I don't need to get down. And as a Christian, none of us need to get down. But here is a person who was not down. And let me tell you why. There was three events. There's three events that occurred here. See, this man of God had already predicted there was going to be a drought. God had already told him that, but he told the people, there's going to be a drought. This same prophet of God was in association with a widow woman who had a son who was sick unto death. This prophet of God had already seen some action, already seen some proof of a God that loved him and looked out for him. Yeah? There was a drought that took place. A terrible famine took place. But now, here's one. This mother, and I'm not a mom, but I understand the principles of a mom. There's something about a mom that, guys, none of us understand. There's something about a mom, they carried a child for 9 months or ever how long it was. Some cases were less than that. But there was a bonding that took place that God put in that place and bonded those together. And a love that I don't understand, this is like God's love and Jesus' love for me. I don't understand it. Of course, I'm going to have millions of years for him to tell me about it. But I don't understand how a mom would have that love. It's something I just don't know. I've not experienced it. But that bond is there. This same type of bond this guy had experienced, because this widow woman, she was afraid. She was afraid of Elijah. Elijah wanted to help her. And paraphrasing this, she said, "Why'd you come to me? Did you come to kill my child?" No. I didn't come to kill your child. And that child was limp and no doubt was unconscious. Took that child upstairs and prayed to God. God would heal that child. So, there's already evidence here. Nobody knew this person. Obviously the widow didn't. Ahab didn't. The prophets of Baal didn't. But he already had confidence. Why? He had seen his God at work. I've seen my God at work. You've seen everybody in here. I dare say, and I know this to be true. I look at your faces and I see some of you have same color hair that I do. So I know that you've experienced answered prayers. I'm going to give you a little short one right here. We could go into this. We could go from person to person to person and do this. But I want to tell you this. When I went to the police department, we got an emergency call. I wasn't driving. The guy, my training officer, was driving. The snow was bad. We had an emergency call on the hill from, some of you may know where Gatton Chevrolet was located. It's Bristol Chevrolet now. And we were trying to go up that hill. Well, it was all snow covered in ice. Well, State Street was all covered in ice. There was plenty of traffic. All of a sudden, we got almost about three-quarters of the way to the top, and the car began to go the other direction at a high speed, out of control. He looked at me, and he said, "What are we going to do?" In a moment, I said, "Oh, God, we need your help now." The car stopped in the middle of that big hill. Because I knew if we go on down and cross that street over there, somebody on Tennessee side or goes into Virginia, they're going to collide with us. It's going to be tough. "Oh, God, we need your help now." The car stopped. He looked at me. His eyes are about this big. He said, "I can't believe that." I said, "We serve a big God." Both of us did a little shout. He puts it in reverse and backs down the hill. We go on around. And you know what else God did besides stop us from having a terrible accident sliding down the hill? He took care of the problem before we got there. Isn't God good? He does more than you ask him for. He shows up on time. Well, this is what he did right here. But let me tell you, there's consequences for unbelief. There's consequences for your sin, your arrogance, and so forth. And let's see what happened here. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked," oh, I like this, "and licked up the water that was in the trench." Tell me that water won't burn. Serve a big God. It will burn. Now, I like this here. Here's the consequences. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" No matter what, I don't care if you've been in the worst fight, or the worst dog in the world has gotten a hold of you. Praise God in all of it. Corrie Ten Boom said this. Now, there's a lot of different stories about Corrie Ten Boom. when they were in concentration camp. Things were bad. Dysentery. Different diseases. Things were bad. But God put her in that place right there to witness and win people to Jesus. All those Jewish people. But here's what else happened. There were lice. I've never had lice. I'm not complaining. Don't want lice. I've seen people with them. Hauled them in my car. Boy, try to clean your car out at your cruiser. That's tough. But they had lice. And you know what Corrie Ten Boom did? She said, "Dear God, thank you for the lice." Would you say that?
I thank you. I got a toothache, Lord. I think they're going to have to cut my foot off, Lord.
Could you do that? Never been placed in that situation. But they're in a concentration camp, and she says, "Thank you for the lice." You know why that happened? You know why God let that happen?
The guards steered clear of all those people because they didn't want lice. Smart, aren't they?
They didn't want lice, but that opened up an opportunity for people to be saved. Listen, you got to look at the big picture. The big picture. And that's what was going on. God had a bigger picture than a concentration camp. So that was big. Yes, it was. But he had a big picture. Now, we've talked and we've bragged and been excited about what we saw with Elijah. But let's see what we've learned here. Drawing near to God pays big dividends. Where do you got your money? You got money in the bank? Yeah, most of us got a buck or two in the bank. Where you got it? Where you get the most interest? Where am I going to put my money? Where am I going to put my trust? Where I get the most interest? I can't put anything in bail or anything else that the government offers. I'm going to put it with God. Why? It pays big dividends. Big dividends. He'll give you courage if you'll ask for it. If you'll trust him, he will provide you with the courage to do what you need to do, that his name be glorified. And what happened here? Elijah glorified and magnified God Almighty. He likes that. That's just like when we brag on Jesus. He likes that. And I want to brag on him because he's the best thing that's ever happened in my life, and in yours.
Amen.
He had seen things happen. Could you have that faith? Put yourself in David's spot. A little guy goes out against a big giant. They tried to put armor on him. He says, "This has not been tried. I don't feel comfortable with this." So he goes out there with nothing. And what happened? Goliath mocked him. "You sent a little ant out here to oppose me. Do you know who I am?" But he had faith in God. I wish I had more faith. How do I get it? Yeah, I know. It comes from here. But I want to be faithful to him. Now, boldness will win out. He got boldness from God Almighty, not arrogance. He knew where the strength and his help come from. And here's the last thing I need to live with you. He'll never hang you out to dry.
Amen.
You can say, "I've got 50 friends. I learned in school when a teacher told me in second or third grade, said, how many friends you have?" "Well, I've got about 25 in here." She said, "You'll be able to count them. When you get older, you'll be able to count them on one hand." She was right. Some of those friends will betray you. Some of those friends will hang you out to dry. But my Lord, my God, has never hung me out to dry. And folks, he'll never hang you out to dry. I trust him with my soul. I trust him with my family. I trust that he's coming back, and I hope it's today. Thank you for being here today.